You're listening to A Little Too Quiet, the Ferndale Library Podcast, brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library. And it is Saturday. It's March 14th. If you're listening to this, just yesterday we announced that this library was going to be closed until further notice due to a public health concern, really over the concerns over COVID-19, the coronavirus. And I'm Jeff Milo. I'm here. We didn't anticipate that we'd be recording a podcast episode, but we wanted to get the word out. We wanted to especially tell you about something on our website. It's the online resources. And Kelly Bennett is here on the board. Kelly.
Hello.
I'm kind of speechless. It's a crazy time.
It's been a really weird couple of days.
So the official announcement, we just made it. The library is going to be closed until further notice. This is the board of directors made this call, and really it's for the best. We, you know, if people can stay home and stay safe, that's the way it's got to be.
Yeah, if you are reading anything about this pandemic, social distancing, which is, you know, not gathering in big groups and
right.
keeping some 5 to 6 feet per person, you know, is really what we've been told will help cut down on the amount of people that are going to get coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like that will help what they call flatten the curve. So because there's exponential growth,
mm-hmm.
And exponential spreading, we want to cut the peak of that down so that people who need medical services can
mm-hmm.
get them when they need them, and we're not overwhelming our health system. So it was with that spirit
yeah.
in mind that the library leadership and the board decided that we would go ahead and do that. All of our schools in Michigan closed as of today, which is, we're recording on Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm. Lucky day.
Last night, yeah. Governor Whitmer announced that all the schools were closed, so we kind of knew
yeah.
that if all the schools are closed, where are people going?
Right.
Maybe they're all gathering in libraries, which maybe
right.
isn't the best right now.
Right. That notion dawned upon us that might be the reality, that people might come to the library, and the safest place would be at home. Let's face it.
Yeah.
And this library is very active when it comes to scheduling events and programming here. And so it was with a heavy heart that we canceled those through the foreseeable future. And that's also just because the safety and public health come first. If it was something we could cancel, we just have to cancel it. It's not.
Yeah.
But even then, the big concerts are all canceled. Everything's canceled. Disney is canceled. It's wild time.
Yeah. It's hard because I think, you know, librarians and people that work at libraries are educated. They
mm-hmm.
tend to ingest a lot of information, and the trusted information seems to indicate that if we do what's
right.
in this regard early, it may look like we overreacted, but that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that it looks like we overreacted and that our measures and the measures of countless libraries in our area, we're part of a library cooperative, and I know I'm on a listserv for libraries in the whole state, and it's just been email after email after email announcing closures.
Right.
And as they got closer and closer to us, it was like, okay, probably time to pull the trigger.
Right. And it might look like overreacting, but if the impact is lessened, if less people get sick, if less people die, then the overreaction was what did that. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
So they were so important.
Don't think
to
we're doing this because
no.
you know, we want time off. We're really sad about it.
Yeah,
we're,
we wanted to have those events and programs, but this is for the best. But we should get to what we really want our patrons to do during the time that the library is closed. And obviously, folks can come in with their library card. You can't do that now. But in a traditional sense, in the conventional sense, you come to the library, check something out with your library card. There's a physical exchange at the desk, and you get a movie or whatever. But you can use your library card from home.
And we've always touted these resources, but now more than ever.
Yeah, it's the best time to get started if you haven't.
We're excited to tell you more about some of these things.
I mean, we could just jump in with something I'm going to be doing, folks. Maybe you could follow my lead. I'm going to start listening to more audiobooks. So maybe we could talk about something called RB Digital.
Yeah, RB Digital is one of our, we call them our online resources. Mm-hmm. If you're in Ferndale, you can access them at ferndalepubliclibrary.org/online-resources. Mm-hmm. Or if you just go to our website and click on online resources, there's a button there for them.
We're trying to get you there no matter what. It's if you're on our Instagram feed, link in the bio, you'll find it.
Yep. So RB Digital has audiobooks, mm-hmm, as well as magazines, which is like a hidden gem.
That's so great. Digital magazines. I mean, if you just wanted to open up the National Geographic, it'd be great.
Yeah, or Cook's Illustrated.
Yeah.
You know, you went and bought 14 pounds of frozen chicken.
Right.
Make some new dishes.
Mm-hmm.
We're not teasing anybody.
No, no.
Really. But, you know, you might be home. It might be time to learn a new recipe.
Mm-hmm.
But the audiobook selection they have is great. We have two other sources for audiobooks, if that's your jam. Hoopla, which is a pretty well-known service through libraries. It's caught on around the world. And they have ebooks, e-audiobooks, music, and movies.
Yeah.
There's even an app that you can install on your Amazon TV.
Right.
And your Roku.
And the Roku.
And I think Apple TV as well. So you could watch these movies.
Yeah.
There's movies. There's also instructional stuff, great courses. I know there's one on wine in there. So, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe you could slip out to your party store and grab a new bottle of wine.
Sure.
And then Libby, which is another longstanding library app, has ebooks and audiobooks as well. And they all have slightly different borrowing models. I think Libby has the largest selection, but it operates more like the traditional library, so you place holds and things like that. Hoopla, so, you get 5 checkouts per month.
Mm-hmm.
And RB Digital, I don't think there's holds.
No.
There is a limit. I don't remember what it is, but between those three, if you like audiobooks, you should be able to find something that you like there.
Yeah, so go to our online resources, create an account quickly, and you can find these in your app store, all three of these.
Right, so Hoopla, RB Digital, and Libby.
And you'll use your library card to access these things. You'll be reading.
You will need your library card number and PIN. I guess at this point I should tell our patrons that me and possibly some other staff members will be monitoring our inbox, which is info@ferndalepubliclibrary.org. And we will also be monitoring our voicemail for our main phone line, which is 248-546-2504. So if you leave us a message there and it's, you know, I can't access this, it says my card's expired or something,
There might be small issues, you never know.
We may be able to help you out. So, you know, if it doesn't work, please contact us. We'll be working remotely.
Yeah.
And I'd be happy to get some people back into listening, reading, whatever they can do, because we're not the only place that's closing. The schools, some people's workplaces. So if you weren't able to come in and get a stack of books before we closed, we'd love for you to be able to check some things out online.
Right. And if you're listening to this podcast while you're driving, that phone number and email address are on the show notes. So just get home to your desktop safely and find us on Podbean.
Yes.
So. Yeah, that's the whole point here, is we may be closed, but you can still use your library card considerably.
Oh, yeah.
To get some stuff here. There's some more stuff.
We have lynda.com from LinkedIn, which is a mouthful, but what it is some online training. And I can tell you from experience that these are really good, thorough training courses.
On a lot of subjects.
A lot of subjects. Particularly good are their tutorials on like software.
Yeah.
And so I started doing a lot more video editing around here at the library, and I was stumbling through Adobe Premiere, and just watching the first hour and a half, I have really honed my skill. Things are taking way less time than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm producing better looking videos. So take it from me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff in there, like obscure software that you know, you may not have thought you could get tutorials for free on. Maybe there's something that they've started using at work and you're like, oh, I fell behind on that. But now's the time to learn how to use it.
Yeah, you never know. You might be applying for a job and they say the requirements are you might need a grasp of this or that or this software. And, you know, folks like me and who mainly just use Microsoft Word, you know.
Yeah.
Who don't have that grasp, this could be a great time.
Yeah. Even things as simple as like the Google Drive and Google Documents suite, you can get some tips there.
Yeah.
And they're really, it's really set up to be flexible too. So there's like short chunks of video time. So when I was learning at work, I could fit in an 8-minute video.
Yeah.
You can bring up your software, you know, behind the video and switch back and forth. There's notes. You can also write your own notes. It's very, you can track your time within the I guess, app, mm-hmm. for the lack of a better word, although you would use this on a desktop or a laptop.
Yeah.
It just makes it, you know, it's like better than YouTube videos because they're professionally produced.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what you're going to get on a YouTube tutorial. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not, but these are produced, you know, for LinkedIn, which, you know, is concerned with people getting jobs.
So yeah.
If you keep that in mind.
Speaking of more things you could learn at home with our online resources is Mango Languages, which will also offer you courses, but obviously to help you learn a second language. And you can choose from 70 different languages, and they have adaptive courses. You could go at your own pace. That is right there on our website at the URL that we reeled off, but we're going to have it in the show notes. You create your account, you get the app, and then you can get started. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I've played around with it a little bit, mm-hmm. Mostly to so that I could help people get started. It's mm-hmm. really easy to use. My favorite feature is that you can record yourself mm-hmm. saying the little phrase and play it back to back with the native speaker.
Mm.
So you can tweak your pronunciation mm-hmm. like kind of in the moment, mm-hmm. which is a big help, especially as an adult language learner.
Right.
And it's like fun to use, and the lessons are short, which doesn't seem like, oh, you know, I'm learning language, I should just do it. But like you could be in the line at, you know, mm-hmm. Secretary of State, or you could be sitting around at home with your kids and like, hey, mm-hmm. let's learn some Portuguese, you know, or whatever.
Or just have your earbuds on when you're doing the dishes. So you
right.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. And you can, there's an app for that as well. You could do it on a computer, a tablet, or an app.
Yeah.
On your phone, which I think that flexibility is really helpful. So that is a highly recommended one as well.
Yeah, we also have access to Consumer Reports. You might not be shopping right now for a washing machine or an ironing board or a car, but it's there for you, and you would be able to get access to their professional reviews of products.
Yeah, I've used it a lot.
Yeah.
Myself, I'm its biggest fan probably here at the library. They, in addition to the reviews, you can look up a subject, or not a subject, an item type,
yeah.
kind of. So let's say you were looking for, I don't know, a smartwatch.
Mm-hmm.
You just type in smartwatch, and it'll give you like a synopsis of the kinds of things you'd be looking for in a smartwatch. It'll tell you the categories. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're just like, my daughter says I should have a smartwatch.
Yeah.
You can see the different features that are offered, educate yourself about it, and then decide. And then they'll have the items rated.
Right.
With all their, you know, professional testing. And
yeah.
they also have this when to buy feature.
Oh.
So if you're looking for a camera, you can go to this when to buy thing and you click on it and it'll show you the months of the year when cameras are the cheapest.
Oh, wow.
Or vice versa. If you're like, what can I buy this month?
Right.
You can click on that month and see what things tend to be cheaper.
Right. It's intuitive if you were going for the smartwatch, but maybe you didn't want one with 1,000 bells and whistles. You mm-hmm. could filter that search.
Yeah.
If you were, I call them the James Bond watch because you're just, you know, it's giving you little updates from headquarters or whatever. It's just
yeah.
very cool.
Yeah.
I should say real quick, during a summer reading program, I asked a patron, how has the library helped you this year? And he said, well, it kind of helped me buy a refrigerator.
That's amazing.
He was referring to the Consumer Reports online resource.
The other thing, you know, if you have heard, you know, buzz about a particular brand and item, you can search that way too.
Yeah.
And see what has been said. Like if you see a really good sale somewhere and you're like, is that washing machine? Like, is that good? Or are they trying to pawn off some garbage on me? You can look and see what Consumer Reports says about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we're missing just one more online resource, if not two. Oh, Creative Bug.
Yeah.
Creative Bug, which is also sort of training?
Yes.
Courses, videos?
I would say it's got a lot in common with Lynda.
Yeah.
Gosh, they put together, it's so comprehensive. Like any type of learner that you are, they've got you covered.
For Creative Bug?
Yes.
This is for the crafty, the artists, the designers, hobbyists, whoever out there.
Yeah, they've, I made a little tutorial video that no one watched because it was too long. So I'll try not to bore you with it here, but they, you know, it's videos, but there's audio, of course.
Yeah.
There's closed caption. There's a full transcript of the audio that you can read and
That's
search.
Great.
That will go, the letters will go as they're reading it, which is amazing. It's got the patterns that you can download and print, instructions like in a separate, you know, PDF. It's really cool. And then they also have like master classes and they update their kind of blog regularly. So if you're looking for a craft project at home, you can search by the type of thing you have at home. Maybe you don't want to go out and buy a bunch of material because you don't want to go to a store, but you've got paper. Okay, what can my kids and I make with this paper? Or, you know, I've got a bolt of cloth. Let's make some pants.
Yeah, if you're like me and you inherited your grandparents' sewing machine and you're very intimidated by what this is because it just doesn't fit into your generation, but you want to use it. You could learn how to do that if you happen to have lots of random fabric lying around in your basement and you want to make a new shower curtain or a new valance for your window. Yeah, I mean, once again, it's an online resource. You get to it with your library card.
Yeah. There's Novelist.
Yeah.
Which we use a lot to help people find their next big read. You can use it to find your next big read on one of our online ebook or e-audiobook sources. It's an amazing tool for matching people up with books.
Yeah.
You can search a previous book and look at appeal factors and kind of figure out, it helped me figure out the kinds of books I like. So then I just search that appeal factor and go, oh yeah, that sounds right up my alley.
Right. You could say, well, I like John Grisham, and then they'll give you recommendations. Or if you're out there and you only liked one of John Grisham's books, do a title search for that one.
Right.
And you can match by title, not by author.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's also, they call them appeal mixers, and it'll just say like fast-paced mystery, you know, and it'll pair up two of those appeal factors and you can click on that and get a list of books.
Yeah, or like breezy romance or, you know, heartfelt comedy. Or it's just, yeah, you can learn about what you actually like and then feed it into this, I guess, algorithm?
Yeah, it's actually produced by librarians. So all
That's
the
awesome.
Reviews and all the kind of like matchy stuff was from librarians. So, and then they created this algorithm to help people match up with books.
Yeah.
And I would be remiss if I didn't mention MEL.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people know MEL, which is Michigan Electronic Library, for MELCAT, which is the delivery system, big Michigan-wide system of getting physical materials interloaned from libraries outside of your general network. However, there are a lot of libraries closing, so MEL might not be your best choice.
Right.
But MEL has lots of databases that you can choose from. We've got a link to MEL itself on our online resources, but one of our reference librarians, Darlene, said that I should mention Learning Express Library. There's lots of prep tests, so for like ACT, the GED, GED, the GRE, things like that. And even I helped a friend pass her realtor exam. She had had a hard time passing it, and she messaged me, does the library have any books? And the reference librarians are like, listen, Learning Express Library. She took it the next day, passed, and then told all of her friends.
And infinitely better than Wikipedia, yes, for goodness sakes.
Indeed. And then they also have basic job training tests, so like clerical exams, things like that.
Wow.
And then for the kids, there's Britannica, so they can kind of explore. There's lots of stuff for kids on Mel as well. So if your kids are bored or they've got homework that they have been sent home from school, they can use a lot of the Mel resources because they're like lauded or they're vetted. Mm-hmm. So they're not just like doing a random Google search and getting information. They can use the Mel resources like Britannica and some other stuff in there to help them out. So,
and just because I can't help but be thorough, not that anyone's going to be traveling, but we do have this cool thing called A to Z World Maps and Travel, and really cool. So if you go into that database, right? It's a database.
I'd say so.
They would give you really cool, like, encyclopedic entries on cities all over the world. And, you know, this might be if you completely run out of all our online resources and you're bored and you just want to read about Hawaii.
Yeah, you can
to
read
pass
about
the time.
Yeah, there's, and if, you know, when people are traveling again, you can read about what kind of money they use, customs, things that you would want to know traveling there, you know, safety, culture, the best places that people say to visit. Yeah, it's a really nice resource. We do have one more, Cypress Resume, which helps build you a resume just by inputting information. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have a resume at all, it's a really good place to start, and you can download it in various formats.
So you answer it in like almost survey types, like this is about me, and it builds it.
Yeah, it gives you keywords to like help you build, you know, where you say the kind of work you did. It will help give you sort of the buzzwords that will catch an employer's eye.
Yeah. All right. So online resources. So many. And so much you could do.
You can peruse our library history page as well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, our 90th anniversary.
Yes, it is our 90th anniversary. If you go to About Us and you click History, you can read some insightful and concise articles that are archived in the Ferndale Historical Society. It is March 14th, and for the foreseeable future, we will be closed, but you can do so much with your library card through these online resources. And even I learned one or two new things about what we can do. And I work here. There's so much to do. So that URL is in our show notes. If you do have any troubles with your library card, if it needs to be updated, you can email us info@ferndalepubliclibrary.org. This has been A Little Too Quiet, the unexpected addition to our season one. This is, but we had to get the word out. We had to talk to you about online resources. We had to let you know that you could still keep using your library from home. So stay tuned for updates. We'll be updating our social media, of course, on Facebook and Instagram. This is the Library Podcast, A Little Too Quiet. It's brought to you by the Friends of the Ferndale Library, and I'm Jeff Milo. Kelly Bennett's engineering this show, and we want to thank you for checking this episode out. If you do have any other questions about online resources, definitely send us that email. Thanks for listening.